Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Notice, firstamendmentradio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones? Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation deserves to hear. Send us a sample or email a bio for a live tryout. The nation is waiting to hear a new voice. It may be yours. We'll let the audience decide. Email us today, talent@firstamendmentradio.com. talent@firstamendmentradio.com.
Hear it first on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to another edition of the broadcast, American Exposé. More phone problems, more problems with the broadcast equipment. Oh, well, here I am. Frustrating, extremely so. You know, you fix one thing, something else goes wrong. You fix another thing, something else goes wrong. I'm just so frustrated. But on with the show. On with the show. No music, no production here. Just the broadcast and the information. I'm very, very frustrated, as you can see. I don't expect to have these problems ever, and when they show up at the last moment, well, you get the brunt of my anger. And I do apologize, but, you know, things should be working more smoothly around here, and they don't, although things are looking up to a certain degree. Let's see here. There's things that are happening that are very obvious to those that do research. I'm in the process of going somewhere with where I'm going tonight. How ridiculous is this getting to be? Jesse Helms, back in January of 2000, and certainly the Katrina situation, the Rita situation, the created crisis to bring about all these different directions, is very obvious to me. Maybe not to some, but most of you that are listening are connecting dots. That's why this hate crimes legislation is coming into place. The exposure of these people in charge and the direction that it takes is very, very obvious and ominous. So this is very, very important to keep in mind, people. We have the statement by Secretary of Defense Cohen from 1997, April 28th. but you've got to learn that situations are being created for us. As the control, the totalitarian control of the UN system being set in place years ago, has to bring about a one-world government, has to disarm the population, has to build sustainable communities, has to reduce the population considerably. And so what do we have but, according to Darren, was the United States government planning to declare martial law in America sometime in 2005 as a synthesis of emergency management? A report he's discovered today seems to suggest that the answer is just that, yes. The Congressional Research Service, a self-described, quote, congressional support agency, end quote, published a report entitled Martial Law and National Emergency, in which are explored both the history of martial law in America and the public's reaction to it. See how easy it is to find information once you know what you're doing. And the others are doing the same thing. So we see here the Congressional Research Service, a congressional support agency, it published a report entitled Martial Law and National Emergency, in which are explored both the history of martial law in America and the public's reaction to it. And the report, listeners, was published on January 7th of this year. Isn't this interesting? As the roadmap for national security was put in place at the end of January of 2001, creating or promoting the creation of Homeland Security. Roadmap for national security, Homeland Security, planned for, on paper, the end of January 2001. What do we have happen in September 11, 2001? Obviously, you know. And here we see this research into martial law in a state of national emergency and control of the population over the states done on January 7th, 2005. And here we see in August and September of 2005 implementation of martial law and a state of national emergency in 40 states. Absolutely, martial law has already started, listeners. It's already started, and I've covered it already. So significant was this information in the report that it garnered the attention of the spooks at the United States Department of State, which linked to it on their official website. Darren says, let us not forget that this is the U.S. State Department that houses the Bureau of Arms Control and is charged with the task of disarming every citizen of the country and the world. Keep in mind, listeners, State Department has the U.S. mission to the United Nations. After martial law was declared in New Orleans, disarmament of the people followed. Perhaps the declaration of martial law in Louisiana, the subsequent seizure of firearms in that same area, and the declaration of numerous states of emergency in various states in the same year of the publication of the report are merely coincidental. However, given the timing of the report, our knowledge of weather modification, and our knowledge of the State Department's purpose of disarmament, we have to ask, why should the State Department be interested in a report detailing martial law if they didn't plan a martial law declaration? And that's just it, listeners. The beat goes on. The controlled scenario continues. The maneuvers to control everything we do, to microchip us, to vaccinate us, to control the food and water, is well underway everywhere. In the meantime, we have Communist China. Secret containers coming in from Communist China on a constant basis. Costco ports on the East and West Coast. China control of the Panama Canal, done so by Jimmy Carter in 1977. I mean, listeners, very obvious to me what's being directed and driven. very, very obvious to me. So understanding that is very, very important. Martial law and a national emergency. National emergency in 40 states already. What's it going to take to put the other 10 states in a state of national emergency? I'll cover Jesse Helms in a moment. But we see martial law and national emergency. It's very revealing. Very obvious to me what's going on here. Crisis in public order, both real and potential, often evoke comments concerning a resort to martial law. While some ambiguity exists regarding the conditions of a martial law setting, such a prospect nonetheless is disturbing to many Americans who cherish their liberties, expect civilian law enforcement to prevail, and support civilian control of military authority. An overview of the concept of, exercise of, and authority underlying martial law is provided in this report, which will be updated as events warrant. Well, I guess it's going to be updated now soon, isn't it? It starts out by stating occasionally when some national emergency or crisis threatens public order in the United States, the comment is made that the president may ultimately resort to imposing martial law in order to preserve discipline and good behavior. How do you give the atmosphere of bad behavior, listeners? Well, you dumb down the population. You drug down the population. The drugging down started in the 1960s. The dumbing down started at the turn of the last century. Okay? The outsourcing of American jobs has been going on for years. Building slave labor products in communist countries and slave labor countries. And then you have the destruction of the family, which is a result of the drugging and the dumbing. And then you have the divorce, the children growing up without a father, then the deadbeat dads that can't afford to pay child support, and then you have the gangs that come into place. Gangs were blamed in the Katrina disaster for shooting at helicopters, which allowed the quote-unquote authorities to disarm the population. They were going to do it anyway. As a matter of fact, they may not have been fired upon by the gangs. However, the looting happened. What kind of idiots would go out and loot when they have no place to take what they take except to feed themselves to survive? It's absolutely ridiculous, but the mentality is in place down there. The mentality of many people are very, very dumbed down. There's no discipline, no father to guide them in their growing stages. So the president may ultimately resort to imposing martial law in order to preserve discipline and good behavior. Well, discipline and good behavior has been eroded in America. Pride is gone in America. We've gone through a 20th century of smokescreen wars. We're in another one now. And who knows what other war is going on that we're not even hearing about. And how about the war in America right this minute? So this continues to state such was the case when it was thought that year 2000, technology problems might result in situations threatening life, property, or the general welfare in American society. The almost flawless transition to the year 2000, of course, rendered such an action unnecessary. More recently, at least one newspaper erroneously reported that the September 14, 2001 declaration of a national emergency by President George W. Bush in response to terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C., quote, activated some 500 dormant legal provisions, including those allowing him to impose censorship and martial law, end quote. In accordance with the requirements of the National Emergencies Act, the President's declaration actually activated 9 selective provisions of statutory law identified in this proclamation pertaining to military and Coast Guard personnel, and I covered the Coast Guard today regarding their position in the Office of Homeland Security. Hold on, I have to change ears. Hold on. Knock it off. Okay. Such comments nonetheless suggest a consideration of what martial law constitutes, as well as when and how it might be invoked. According to one definition, martial law, quote, exists when military authorities carry on government or exercise various decrees of control over civilians or civilian authorities in domestic territory, end quote. More significantly, it, quote, may exist either in time of war or when civil authority has ceased to function or has become ineffective. Isn't that amazing? Become ineffective. I see. It may exist either in time of war or when civil authority has ceased to function or has become ineffective. Are we in a time of war now? We haven't been in a time of war since 1945 because no war has been declared, although a war has been declared covertly on the population of America and the population of the world. Very simple, in my opinion. Continuing with this, congressional scholar Edward S. Carwin agrees with this understanding, but also offers important qualifications. A regime of martial law may be compendiously, if not altogether accurately, defined as one in which the ordinary law, as administered by the ordinary courts, is superseded for the time being by the will of a military commander. It follows that when martial law is instituted under national authority, it rests ultimately on the will of the President of the United States in his capacity as Commander-in-Chief. It should be added at once, nevertheless, that the subject is one in which the record of actual practice fails often to support the niceties of theory. Thus, the employment of the military arm in the enforcement of the civil law does not invariably or even usually involve martial law in the strict sense, for soldiers are often placed simply at the disposal and discretion of the civil authorities as a kind of supplementary police or posse comitatus. On the other hand, by reason of the discussion that the civil authorities themselves are apt to vest in the military in any emergency requiring its assistance, the line between such an employment of the military and a regime of martial law is frequently any but hard and fast one. That's any but a hard and fast one. So it goes on and on, people. This is a five-page report, but probably utilized by the federal government for the first time in 1814 when proclaimed by the victorious General Andrew Jackson. Martial law was not part of the experience of a great many Americans in the period prior to the Civil War, and therefore its potentially arbitrary and authoritarian nature was not especially fearsome of the populace. In this regard, an observation by historian James Randall might be recalled. I'll let you do this yourself, people. As territory of the Confederacy was overtaken by Union forces, it was governed under military authority and martial law. The state of affairs in the South with regard to martial law continued into the Reconstruction period. Quote, since the Civil War era, end quote, notes Joseph E. Kallenbach, quote, there have been no proclamations of martial law by presidents directly on behalf of the national government. Although President Hayes seriously considered issuing such a proclamation during the railroad strike crisis of 1887, there have been conditions of limited martial law established with the explicit or implicit approval of the president by officers of the or in the field, however, end quote, he adds. There's more to this, much more. These occasional invocations of martial law during the post-Civil War period occurred most often in labor disputes, but as one chronicler recounts, other disturbances of the public order were involved as well. And certainly there's more to this. This is very, very interesting research. And here we see, since the conclusion of World War II, martial law has not been presidentially directed or approved for any area of the United States. Federal troops have been dispatched to domestic locales experience unrest or riot, but in these situations, the military has remained subordinate to federal civilian management. Technological corrections and adjustments averted the need to invoke martial law due to UK or Y2K failures and resulting public disorder. Technological corrections and adjustments averted the need to invoke martial law due to Y2K failures and resulting public disorder. I was promoted a good year in advance. I knew people that moved out of California to Idaho. Very, very interesting. And then they had to come back to California because there wasn't any work in Idaho. Nothing happened. The September 11th terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City clearly demonstrated that civilian law enforcement authorities were adequate in managing the situation without resort to martial law or even the introduction of federal troops. You see how weather control, weather modification, environmental modification is so very important at this juncture to expose to the population, whoever they may be. Let's not be led down the primrose path of deception another time, and another time, and another time. Since the inception of the Federal Reserve Bank, there's been more wars than any time in human history, listeners. Since the inception of the UN system, those wars have escalated to bring about totalitarian poverty around the world. With wars and environmental modification, there's more poverty in the world today than any time in history. With the wars being set up, the Sandinistas, the Contras in South America, the Afghanistan war with Russia, the Vietnam war with us and France, the Korean War, and I'm missing a whole lot, the famines. The people from Vietnam are still coming in. I covered that. There's some of that already as well. The State Department is in charge of migration. So once again, this report is the result of the Hegelian dialectic being driven for the 20th century to bring us to where we are right now. So they have a report discussing the prospects of martial law in the future, is what I see this. As I'm on page 4, in fulfilling constitutional responsibilities to put down insurrection, rebellion, or invasion, the president may resort to invoking martial law. This action in this regard is subject to judicial review. Well, maybe so, maybe not. And it might be subject to judicial review, but it will be after the fact, I guarantee it. But let's dissect this one some more. In fulfilling constitutional responsibilities to put down insurrection, rebellion, or invasion, but the bottom line is, our constitutional republic has not been adhered to for so many years. And you can take it all the way back to the Civil War, the war between the states. The president may also exercise certain authority to create a condition similar to, but not actually one of, martial law. In the event, quote, the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages, or rebellion against the authority of the United States make it impracticable to enforce the laws of the United States in any state or territory by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. He may call into federal service such of the militia of any state. Oh, really? Is he ever going to do that? Anyone in the age of 17 and 45 is a member of the militia, and that's in the U.S. Code. And to use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to enforce those laws or to suppress rebellion, end quote. What is rebellion? What is rebellion when you see this congressional testimony of Robert Mueller, director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, before the Senate Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, February 16, 2005. Right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat in America today. In other words, we, the American people, who believe in a constitutional republic, are we're anti-government, listeners. We are anti-government. That's what it's all about. That's what congressional testimony of Robert Mueller says. Those of us that are exposing Agenda 21 and its maneuvering are terrorists. We're not going along to get along. We're not going along to get along. And there is the crux of the problem, people. While some ambiguity exists regarding the conditions of a martial law setting, such a prospect, nonetheless, is disturbing to many Americans who cherish their liberties, expect civilian law enforcement to prevail, and support civilian control of military authority. And then they go into, let's hear it. As long ago as 1962, sensitivity to these values was apparent when the Kennedy administration reportedly instructed a high-level emergency planning committee that, quote, nationwide martial law is not an acceptable planning assumption, end quote, in preparing for the survival of the nation following a nuclear attack. Veteran news correspondent Walter Cronkite stated the case a few years later when he wrote that we must not merely prepare for the survival of individuals, but also for the survival of our democratic system, end quote. And indeed, quote, to be certain that everything is done to preserve the post-war population's confidence in government, end quote. Walter Cronkite, he's a closet socialist anyway. Walter Cronkite, evil. I remember him so well as I was growing up. The news media played out the Vietnam War so precisely well. It was such a setup and such a joke. And I keep remembering that so well. Absolutely ridiculous. Terrible times, listeners. Sad, sad time. I was talking at one time about the International Rivers and Lakes. It's a newsletter prepared jointly by the Department for Economic and Social Affairs, the United Nations, New York, and the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, Santiago, Chile. This is quite a report as well. We'll try to get it to the website. It's just absolutely amazing where they talk about water sovereignty and NAFTA in Canada, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, preventing municipal pollution of transboundary rivers. They're concerned about the rivers, but they don't talk about or worry about utilizing the oceans and the ocean water for purposeful propositions and directions for their use. Irrigation, sanitation, drinking water, it can all be done but with water desalinization plants. And there's where the crux of the problem lies. There's where we know we're in a situation being created for us. And we're being maneuvered to accept what we're being told. So this report is on the top of the website, AmericanExpose.com. It's there for everyone to see. Very, very important to connect the dots, listeners. I'm sorry that all this is going on. And I wish I could give you better news. But that's not the way it is. And I wish I could give you some better thoughts. But there's no purpose of me being here unless we were in this situation. Most troubling. So let's get back into this Agenda 21. Because at this joint time, at this situation, it's being implemented all around us on a constant basis. And the communitarian plan for reinventing a global government was adopted by the UN in 1992 at the Rio Earth Summit, listeners. That is the bottom line. That's very, very obvious to those at the Anti-Communitarian League. And obviously, I don't have any music to play, so we're just going to bump off to the commercial pause as I'll just wait for, and anticipate for that happening. Once again, I have a phone line problem, and it's just one telephone, and I don't know what to say. But we'll be back momentarily and continue with the broadcast on the telly tonight. And we'll be there. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Get ready for the 10th Annual Old Pass Christian History Conference, hosted by the Church at Cahuilla, coming the weekend of October 1st and 2nd. Guest speakers will be John Weaver, the author of The Christian and Civil Government. Pastor Weaver's preaching style is in the tradition of those early colonial pastors whose pulpits were the cradle of America's liberty. Thomas McConnell is a noted speaker on biblical covenantalism and economics. John Quaid. He has taken his passion for God's law into practical application for everyday life and others. Children are welcome. There is plenty of RV parking and tent camping. For more information, and if you would like to receive a brochure, call Pastor Warren Mark Campbell at 559-561-0802 or visit the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage for more information. Thank you.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. I get involved in trying to fix things in the middle of this, which I shouldn't have done, but here we are. On the telephone, another telephone line problem of some sort. So the communitarian plan for reinventing global government was adopted once again at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, and there were no public votes cast for or against it in any of the affected free nations. Quote-unquote free nations. Do we have free nations today, I ask? Average citizens were not consulted. In most free and democratic countries, the nation's taxpayers who pay for it were never even told about it. The major media outlets were mostly silent, while for 13 years the UN's LA21 laws have been imposed on all 166 member nations. Keep in mind, listeners, there's an Agenda 21 in Taiwan, which is not a member of the UN system as well. How amazing is that? So, my point here is that we're all in this situation, and most people don't know about it. This is why I keep doing it for so long. It's so well entrenched. We're going to add this to part two of the Agenda 21 section, and hopefully we'll get that done tonight. As there were no big discussions of its purpose and ultimate consequences, it just slid into law. It's really pretty amazing. No major editorials, no explanation of how it would be imposed. It was barely announced by the national governments who endorsed it. Only a few enlightened locals understand Agenda 21 requires a total reorganization of government systems. It eliminates individual rights in the free countries. National systems of political economy are subservient to LA 21 laws. It was generally thought to be a good thing, so few people bother to read their new local vision for community, even if they know there's a plan. It's presented by experts, really nice people promoted, as a just, scientific, non-threatening way of cleaning up the world. It's a grassroots, holistic, sustainable development movement. And who's going to argue with that if they don't know, or they don't even know what it means? Good question. So many nationals come here after searching for specific countries' local Agenda 21, and we're talking about the Anti-Communitarian League's site, which is going to be part two of our Agenda 21 site. And they say, and I'm just directing you to this because this is the best way to get people started. And they ask, if you're coming here from the outside of the United States, please know that they are openly opposed to communitarian plans. And this site does not support eliminating nations in order to form a one-world community government. And if you agree with them, or if there's any organized local resistance in your country against your plan, they'd like to know. From the number of visitors lately, and they say it appears this powerful and important legal document is finally getting the national attention it deserves. Every country in the world has a local Agenda 21 blueprint. I want to make sure you understand where this is at the conclusion of this broadcast tonight, because this is the key to getting people involved. This is understanding what's being done to us today. This is why foreign troops are in America today. This is why our troops are out of America today for many purposes. It was planned for long ago. So, once again, the ACL says every country in the world has a local Agenda 21 blueprint, even though many remain unfinished. And they link to several of them here, and they appreciate links to opposition sites from anywhere in the world. It's not only our country that will disappear under this plan. Iraq had one before Operation Freedom, and hardly any of their plan was filled in. This really is the plan for a global government. The entire world is at risk. See, I enjoy what they say. I appreciate what they say. And this is why I'm promoting it tonight. To many of you, this is old information. But this is the time to increase our numbers. As a result of the created crisis that was given to us, the latest created crisis, the steering of hurricanes, this is it, in my opinion. And once again, I'm using my opinion from my experience from the past. When we've had laid out strategies to destroy and decimate our military in the Vietnam and Korean War under the guise of the United Nations system. Oh, boy. And this is the point. This is where it is. This is what it's all about today. We live in America, UN America listeners. The State Department has the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Anybody talk about that? Except a minor handful. So this goes on to state, the ACL site, the political philosophy behind the new law is called communitarianism. Communitarian Network founder, the guru of globalization, Dr. Amante Etzioni, is a prominent player in many global legal sessions. An advisor to several U.S. presidents and a strong voice advocating a new world order, Etzioni's recent attendance at the very exclusive World Political Forum in Turin, March 2005, shows his powerful role in planning for an international government. This former Israeli terrorist co-founded the whole new science of social economics with former communist Mikhail Gorbachev. And he's not a former communist, people. If you look in the quote section of AmericanExpose.com, you will find Mikhail Gorbachev says, "Do not be deceived. I am a lifelong communist." So then they give you primary official sites, the United Nations Local Agenda 21 homepage, the history of the UN, UN Facts, Agenda 21, number of formerly committed municipalities from Earth Trends in 2001. Keep in mind, I'm trying to give you the basis to make it easier for you to increase our numbers as a result of what's happened recently with weather modification and the steering of hurricanes that's been chronicled by various individuals that we're associated with here. And I do say we. And then the ACL says, and that's the Anti-Communitarian League, says visit the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, ECLI, and they have a quote, ECLI's mission is to build and serve a worldwide movement of local governments to achieve tangible improvements in global environmental and sustainable development conditions through cumulative local actions, end quote. And you'll find the official definition of sustainable development. And so the next step is to learn how the UN Agenda 21 is directly tied to the U.S. And they say almost every state in the U.S. has implemented LA 21, Local Agenda 21, set up organizations. Most are doing it very quietly, but a few like Iowa are bragging about doing it. And you can learn and check to the Earth Charter and Agenda 21 for Iowa, and it's posted by the University of Iowa, listeners. And then the Earth Charter USA, where they talk about our new moral and legal code. And then you have the United States of America's United Nations Local Agenda 21 plan. All very, very easy to access, as we will revamp this week on the AmericanExpose.com. We'll make the ACL site to Agenda 21 number two in our Agenda 21 section. As the way it is now, it'll be what is on our section now will be number three. And more on that as the time progresses. So then you have Community-Based Economic Synthesis and Regeneration 21 by Steve Welser, Green Party of New Jersey. And that is all very, very interesting in itself. They continue by stating every coming municipal, county, state, and federal election determines the future of our nation. We are in big trouble if we don't act like good business people and fire the employees who are embezzling our freedom and our children's futures. Many of our current government employees are active communitarians and hold prominent key development positions. Land use and urban strategic planning are where the money is. And they say, please vote smart outside the dialectic. Read carefully and thoroughly what the candidates say about their commitments and goals. Check for communitarian terms, especially if they describe a vision for community. and be aware if they have any ties to corporate developers. America's needs legitimate lawmakers who come from our small business communities who can stop, read, and actually study new laws and local plans in their entirety. Find loyal and independent thinking candidates who will swear to uphold the Constitution of these or your United States of America. Elect representatives who will make sure all land management plans comply with constitutional law, then pass them, or not based on their relevancy to the only legitimate purpose for any branch of the American government. Quote, a political power is inherent in the people, and governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed and are established to protect and maintain individual rights, end quote. Links to this are on the ACL site. Point being, listeners, we're being fed lies on a constant basis. We have our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers overseas in another Vietnam. You don't know who your enemy is. It's for the UN system. It's not George Bush's war. George Bush is just the occupier of the White House. Just like Lyndon Johnson in the Vietnam War and Richard Nixon in the Vietnam War, it was a UN operation. CETO agreement, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, says so. A UN operation, the Vietnam War. But the American people weren't going to stand for another UN operation when Korea was never finished and isn't to this day. So here we are, embroiled in another Hegelian mess. But now the implementation of Agenda 21 goes on all over the world. Apparently, a quote, without further ado, let the business action begin, end quote. Quote, Paris, on May 3, 2005, these were the words of the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development 13, UNCSD 13, Chair John Ash, when he opened the business action event at the high-level segment of the annual conference in New York. And this says last week, set in motion to demonstrate the business community's commitment to help resolve the global challenges on water and energy. The global challenges on water and energy. We certainly chronicled over and over again, no water desalinization plants to utilize the water of the ocean. Energy, the nuclear power plant has been vilified for years, although they're built in foreign countries today. Nuclear power has been good. Nuclear power has been very, very efficient in every submarine that we've had. Nuclear power has been prominent in the space vehicles that were chronicled in Popular Mechanics that I've talked about in the past. Dr. Ash commended the initiative, quote, if you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem, he said. These initiatives show that business is part of the solution, end quote. End quote. He also encouraged business to increase its involvement in partnerships. Well, that's what's going on now with federal government. The outsourcing and the privatization of federal jobs, which I've talked about in the past, as Darren has too. So what are we up against here? Individual rights lose against community rights 5-4. Homes may be taken for private projects, and the justices, local governments can give okay if it's for public good. And that's an Associated Press article, June 23rd of 2005. Many of you have heard that, where the Supreme Court on Thursday ruled that local governments may seize people's homes and businesses even against their will for private economic development. Had to be done. The NAFTA corridors are being engineered, 10 miles wide all over the country. They're only going to be a quarter of a mile wide with auto, railroad traffic, municipality traffic, meaning electrical, water, sewer. It's all going to be one big, happy highway. And then you have the sustainable communities that are well underway as a result of this latest disaster, this latest created situation. It was very obvious to me what's being done here. Sustainable communities will be built. So 2020 is a key word in identifying LA21 plans and community mapping and security programs, i.e. the NIC 2020. The NIC 2020. We'll get into that. Civil society aims described by the World Federalist Association of Northern California. This worldwide organization has a 2020 Global Peace Initiative whose aim is to create a culture of peace by the year 2020. Well, peace is going to be held by those that created the wars to begin with. And how are they going to do it? They're going to starve the population, what's left, after the created crises that are being implemented now. Many of you listening on the West Coast won't be listening in the future because you'll be killed by an earthquake. It's sad to say. Or you'll be killed by a tsunami. Many of you listening right now won't be around to listen in the future. Many of us anywhere in this country may not be here next year as a result of environmental modification. So I continue. This initiative reflects a global vision of unity, one heart, one mind, working toward one goal. We are many races which form one race, the human race. Well, I agree with that. Each and every one of us has a different place we call home, but ultimately this planet is our home, they say. Well, the name 2020 is symbolic, thereby working with and reinforcing positive mass consensus thought forms. It has also been chosen as a practical time frame for humanity to work towards creating a culture of peace. We've always wanted peace as a population, as the human race, listeners. We've always wanted peace. The wars have been financed by the Federal Reserve banking cartel. This is all lies. One lie upon another lie upon another lie upon another lie. Wars are created by people in positions of power. The bankers were the people in position of power at the turn of the last century. They created the Federal Reserve to destroy sovereignty. Our sovereignty has been steadily eroded since 1913 to the point where we are right now, where people don't even know Agenda 21 even exists. And it's a total control of everything we do, including the World Toilet Organization. So they go on to state Princeton University's great experiment, which relates to measurement of emotion and directed through directed thought, appears to support what metaphysicians have claimed for years: our thoughts impact our reality. The 2020 initiative calls on UN member states and non-member states to support the 2020 initiative through action, specifically formulating a global constitution supporting this initiative and opening the borders, i.e. allowing free movement and residence of all beings, end quote. Well, isn't that what we're living today? And yet you've got these immigration groups battling illegal immigration. Well, it's not illegal under the UN's eyes. You just heard it. And the the NA Communitarian League says, and yes, we've all heard the New World Order is nothing but a ridiculous American conspiracy theory. But let's be real here. It's impossible to negate the fact that there is an organized plan for a global government. The United Nations Local Agenda 21 is the blueprint for world government, and it's already being implemented across the globe. Just because most Americans have never heard of it doesn't mean it isn't real. It really doesn't get any more real than this. and I really appreciate the research they've done to make this as simple for anyone first coming to this site to learn about Agenda 21. It's very, very obvious to me what's being driven and directed here. You learn about all new communitarian laws to eliminate rights guaranteed by national constitutions or inside the international blueprint for rebuilding subservient local political structures. Many of these spontaneous grassroots visions for rebuilding community plans are identical, and none of them happen by accident. And you learn about Seattle City Council member Margaret Pegler, where there's a quote, "The city of Seattle works for sustainable development at the local and regional level in a program that parallels local Agenda 21. The city council endorsed the Earth Charter in a 2002 resolution," end quote. Did you learn about Global Green USA? And listen to what Mikhail Gorbachev, former president of the USSR, or former premier, and former communist turned communitarian. Quote, "We need a new system of values, a system which recognizes the organic unity between humankind and nature and promotes the ethic of global responsibility," end quote. Keep in mind, former communist and communitarian Mikhail Gorbachev. He's a social economics partner with Amitai Etzioni. Gorby thinks he's a more moral global leader of formerly the free nations like the USA. Now, I'm just barely a quarter of the way through this. You learn about the third way. You learn about a sample LA 21 programs operational in the United States. You learn about the UN plan for internet control, dated April 9th, 2004. You learn about planning and community development links. And you learn about an example of LA 21 corporate government structure in English from Finland. Then you learn about the 1997 United Nations list of protected areas of the United States. And the statement by Robert Traub, United States advisor on item 87A, implementation of Agenda 21, and the program for the further implementation of Agenda 21. Now, why am I spending so much time on this tonight? Because we have a golden opportunity right now to increase our numbers tenfold as a result of this latest weather modification action, or environmental modification action. Why do I say that? Because if they can be steered, they can be steered away from harm's way. Jim McKenney evidently created this opportunity to steer hurricanes out of harm's way, and yet they're being used on populations, apparently. This is a golden opportunity to expose Agenda 21. It's everything, listeners. That's why I keep talking about it, and I've done a lot of research over the years. I've done